Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. This is going to be the first of an Advent, the Advent series. Today we're going to talk about hope and faith. And remember to join us in Zoom, the Zoom Fellowship right after this, so you can see your other Unity family.
Yeah.
We're going to have, have discussion. And also we have a guest musician today,
Safi.
Yeah, which we all enjoy. So we look forward to seeing you in that as well. And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thanks. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we'll have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 28th. The key words are hope and faith, and the affirmation is, my hope leads me to unwavering faith in God. My belief in goodness of the world, others, myself, and God begins with hope. Maybe hope is all I can muster after a period of doubt or disappointment. As I feel hopeful, I begin to believe that new possibilities and better outcomes are available to me. My hopeful feelings lead to faith, a certainty that the goodness I could only sense before is the actual nature of life. With faith, I now direct my thoughts toward goodness, wholeness, and my heart's desires. With gratitude for my awakening, I use faith to dismantle doubt and limitation. I hold only the best thoughts for myself. I know and feel in the depths of my soul that the good I desire is already mine. With unwavering faith and deep gratitude, I claim it now. And the scripture is taken from Psalm 62, verse 5, and it reads, for God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, honey. So, like I said, today is the first day of Advent, and we are going to be talking about hope and faith today. Matter of fact, it's called The Journey to Rebirth Through Hope and Faith. So, you know, what's the difference between faith, belief, hope, and trust? Okay, listen to this explanation. I'm going to use a story by Padmanabhan to illustrate the differences. So this story I got found somewhere on the internet, but there was once was a tightrope walker. Now, this individual is well known, Charles Blondin. It's a Smithsonian magazine called him the Daredevil of Niagara Falls. And you probably have seen, episode things on the internet or something that talked about them. And they call him the Daredevil of Niagara Falls because he would perform death-defying feats walking across Niagara Falls on a tightrope with no support or life-saving equipment whatsoever. So, the crowds gathered to watch his incredible feat, and in one event, he announced that he was going to push a wheelbarrow over the tightrope going across Niagara Falls. So he asked the audience, and listen carefully, do you believe, that's one of the words that we're looking at, do you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow over the tightrope? Well, everybody in the audience, because they had seen him, do some incredible feats so many times, they just all shouted, yes. They believed that he could do it, and they cheered him on. So he said, the fact that you believe that I can do this, and listen to that word, the fact you believe I can do this, who is willing to sit in the wheelbarrow as I push it across a tightrope? Well, of course, there was no volunteers, right? So here we see that everyone had a firm belief that he was skilled enough to push the wheelbarrow successfully over the tightrope. But nobody was willing to volunteer to sit in the wheelbarrow, and here it is, trust him with their lives. So this idea of believe and trust, okay? And so here we see the difference between those two, and we may believe that, you know, that Blondine was skilled enough to do it successfully, but we may not want to trust him with our lives, okay? And similarly, you know, if you think about the term hope, it's an optimistic state of mind that is based on expectations of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in our lives, or even in, you know, world events. There's many of people who are saying that there's got to be a positive outcome to the pandemic, for example. Okay, so we have this hope that in the future something that we're hoping for is going to unfold. So if we were a part of Blondin's audience at the beginning of every stunt, we would hope, okay, that he performs the stunt successfully. We would hope that there would be no mishaps due to unknown conditions, you know, going across Niagara Falls. It could be weather conditions or anything that could interfere with him. But we would hope that none of that would happen. So hope is about expectation that a positive outcome will occur. Now, faith, on the other hand, is complete confidence in an outcome, causing one to act as if it has already happened. Okay? Faith does not require proof. We're not hoping, we are knowing. Now, as an example, there's a classic tale of a village suffering from drought and famine. So everyone put their faith in prayer, you know, decided to pray to God for rain, all right? Now, However, the true example of faith was demonstrated by a small boy who came to the prayer session with an umbrella. He had total faith that his prayers would be answered, and he would need the umbrella for the rains that would surely come as a result of their prayers. So in everyday communication, we use faith, belief, or believe, hope, and trust. We use those interchangeably, but the context of each is very different, especially depending on the context in which the terms are being used, you know, whatever situations we're using them. So for example, where we may trust Blondin with our life, we may trust God. We may not trust Blondin with our life. We may trust God with our life, okay? So we may look at events like that one and say, well, I don't know if I can trust that. But normally, we do have a sense that we can trust God with our life, okay? So in Proverbs 3:5-6, we read, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust, here's that word again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways submit to God, and God will direct your path, okay? So that idea of trusting God. Now, listen, this is how the Message Bible explains it. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. That's real clear. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. God is the one who will keep you on the track. And don't assume that you know it all. Okay? So that's good. I like the Message Bible because it kind of gives a very clear explanation of this idea. So we're going to explore these concepts in this lesson today. Again, today is the beginning of Advent, okay, the season where we explore the spiritual attributes of faith, peace, love, and joy. And each year, we dig a little bit deeper into understanding the full potential of these spiritual attributes, all right? You know, because again, you'd say those words are like words to us, faith, peace, love, and joy, like words, but there's some divine attributes in those, and so we keep looking deeper into them. And as we do each Advent season, we will dive deeper into how to live our lives with hope that eventually leads to a consciousness of absolute faith, okay? So hope is sort of our, what's the word I'm looking for? It's sort of our lifesaver as we are trying to move our consciousness into absolute faith. And each year, the Advent booklet refers to the Christmas attributes of faith as hope, faith. Every year we get that booklet, it's always talking about hope, faith. So this ties these two together as a spiritual progression from five sensory consciousness, hope, to Christ consciousness, faith. All right? So Advent is a period beginning the fourth Sunday before Christmas, observed by many Christians as a season of prayer and fasting and penitence in the preparation for Christmas, right? And if this is a Sunday four before Christmas, we all know that Christmas is going to be here before we know it. So if you got a lot to do to get in preparation, this is the time to do that. So the dictionary says that Advent means the coming or arrival of something extremely important. And the Advent journey is described as being solemn because it's a deeply earnest and serious journey, meaning we embark upon this journey with our heart, mind, and soul fully committed to what is required for spiritual transformation. And as the opening scripture expressed, in all your ways submit to God. In all your ways submit to God. And for clarity, it's not so much about trying to change your ways of being as it is about allowing your ways of being to be changed. So we're going to talk more about how that happens. But this does happen by keeping your mind fixed on God. God being the source of, from which all your prayers are answered. And we're going to get deeper into that idea. God being the source from which all your prayers are answered. So the Advent journey eventually leads to a divine awakening in the minds of those who take it seriously. And as you heard it said before, God is constantly begetting the only begotten. And that which God is constantly begetting is the awakening of our awareness of the Christ presence within each one of us. This begetting of the Christ idea happens every time we choose to leave the world and go within in prayer and silence. Okay? So you allow yourself this time of silence and prayer, and you submit to God in all your ways. Now, going within to submit to God in all our ways is the focus of this series of Advent lessons. And this spiritual preparation for Christmas is not just for the Christmas season, and we all know that. For this Christ awakening to manifest within us, we must work at it continuously every moment of every day. So, as it's written in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, and you know this verse, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So this is a key scripture that reinforces all the lessons we study about awakening from sense consciousness to Christ consciousness. Okay? And the will of God in Christ Jesus is the process by which this Christ ideal is awakened within us. Okay? The will of God in Christ Jesus, meaning the type, Jesus will always look at as the type man. Okay, and as you heard me say before, he went from Jesus of Nazareth to Jesus Christ, and then after the resurrection, Christ Jesus, all right? Before it was like personality, then Christ, or personality, then spirituality. And that's who we are. We're a lot, personality, then spirituality. But when we really begin to evolve, it kind of transforms and we become spirituality to personal self, okay? It's like the Christ in us is that that shows up first, whenever we are, wherever we are. So this is a process, again, by which the Christ ideal is awakened in each of us. And it is important to understand that our indwelling Christ is not something we have to get to. We are already the Christ, dreaming that we are not. Okay, and we read in John 11:40 that when Jesus came to Mary and Martha, who were, anguished over the death of Lazarus, so they were at the grave, and they were saying, if only it had been here, they would just say, why didn't you get here quicker, And he said to them, did I not tell you that if you believe, that's that word again, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, the glory of God being the realization that there is a divine union between our mind and God mind. So what they were saying, to Jesus, why didn't you get here sooner? because they knew he had the power of God within him. But he said, you know, but you have to understand that you also have the power of God within you. So again, it's that realization of this divine union between our mind and God mind. Or more specifically, a divine union between your mind and God mind. My mind and God mind. And sometimes when I say our, I think it's not, we may not take it as specifically as understanding that the Christ already exists within us, okay? And what we're seeking is a realization of that, and that realization is understanding the divine union between our mind and God mind, my mind and God mind, your mind and God mind. And this is an individual realization. So when Jesus said, you will see the glory of God, we do not see God with our physical eyes, and listen carefully, except as God manifests God's self through us as the answer to our prayers. Okay? So when you pray, actually what is happening is you're opening yourself up for this divine idea, this divine being, to express through you as the answer to your prayer. So our mission is to discover for ourselves that Christ does exist within us as our hope of glory. Our hope of glory being the realization of the combination or the union between our mind and God mind. And this is the purpose of the Advent series as we work our way through the four parts of this series, faith, peace, love, and joy. So today, the lesson focuses on understanding how hope and faith can impact our Advent journey in a wonderful, powerful, uplifting way. Now, reading from this year's Advent booklet, and hopefully many of you have it, and this is from Thursday, December the 2nd, so it's, you know, it's a little bit ahead of time, and this is what it says. It says, hope is a beginning expression of faith. Hope is a beginning expression of faith. Through spiritual practice, hope evolves into its fuller expression, which is faith. So faith is the sure knowledge that our good is ours right now, right here. Ours right here and right now. And that's the idea of faith, of knowing that that which you're asking for is already yours. Faith does not waver from that idea of knowing that what you're asking for is yours right now. So most of the time when we say we have faith, what we're usually referring to is hope. We use these two words, these two concepts interchangeably in our everyday thinking and interacting with the circumstances and people in our lives. It's just, that's just the way that those words are, okay? But the two concepts, faith and hope, are not quite the same. Hope, as we said earlier, can lead to faith. But while faith signifies a deep knowing and connection to the power and presence we call God, our use of the word hope is often referring to what we call positive thinking about some future occurrence, okay? Nothing wrong with positive thinking about some future occurrence, about hoping for something, okay? But faith takes us on a spiritual path. Faith takes us on a spiritual, believing in things unseen while being comfortable in the unknowing, meaning not needing to know how, when, or where our prayers will be answered. While hope usually takes a sensory path that needs to know how, when, and where things asked for will happen. Okay, so hope is you ask knowing. I'm sorry, faith is you ask knowing. Hope is you ask hoping, right? Hoping that what you're asking for will happen. So for a closer examination of hope, let's refer to the revealing word again. And it says, hope is the expectation of something you want or need coming to you in the future. Hope is a quality of the human mind that bases its sense of reality on that which can be clarified or affirmed by the five senses. So when you are hopeful about something, it is usually because you have in mind a specific outcome you are hoping will manifest according to your predetermined design. Okay? Now, faith, on the other hand, can open possibilities for you that you didn't even know were possible. All right? inconceivable possibilities become conceivable when you are open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. Now, I hope you can get that difference. So hope is like an intellectual process. You're intellectualizing and hoping that this thing is going to unfold. But faith is a spiritual process. And intellectual process, it's kind of like you're knowing the possibilities. But in faith, like I said, inconceivable possibilities become conceivable when you're operating from faith. It is not that you do not envision what you want when you're coming from faith. It is more that you are open and receptive to this or something greater. And you've heard that said many times. So hope is miracle-oriented. Faith is miracle-oriented. Faith is miracle-oriented. This is not to say that hope does not evoke miracles, because it does, all right? So you can evoke miracles with hope, but faith is purely miracle-oriented, okay? It's just that faith inspires us to step out of the material realm and into the spiritual realm where miracles come from, while hope is waiting for the miracle to come out of the spiritual realm and into the physical realm. Did that make sense? Okay. So faith is comfortable with the unknown. When you're operating from faith, you're comfortable not knowing what the result's going to be. And to quote Martin Luther King, he says, only in the darkness can you see the stars. Only in the darkness can you see the stars. We could equate this to taking time to close our eyes and enter into the stillness to pray for nothing more than a divine connection. And it is in this divine connection that you begin to see the stars, meaning the light of understanding, right? So in a past Advent booklet, we read this. When you face a challenging situation in your life, you might tell yourself you need more faith. This isn't true. You already have all the faith you need because the totality of faith is already in your consciousness. Faith is one of your spiritual powers, and those who are familiar with it is one of your 12 powers, the 12 gifts from God, with which we are endowed already. Okay, we came with these 12 gifts of God within our consciousness. Faith waits patiently within you, ready to be set free, and it can only be set free by you. You must release some faith if it is to be of use to you. Hell within you, faith cannot do any of the work it was designed to do. Okay, so that's important to realize, that we already have this faith within us, this faith power, this power of faith. And faith breaks the bonds of space and time and is not subject to their limitations, because faith is a divinely approved now experience. See, hope operates within space and time, okay? Faith operates outside of space and time. And as I said, it's a now experience. So faith is not confined to the limited reasoning of the intellect that is trapped within the parameters of what it thinks it knows is being possible. Faith is fourth dimensional in nature, and the fourth dimension being the transcendental realm that Jesus called the kingdom of the heavens. Now, it is important that we understand that hope is a good thing. Okay, we're not negating the power of hope. Okay. Hope is a good thing, but it is only the beginning of the spiritual journey, and it does not always recognize the immediacy of spirit, okay? Faith recognizes that spirit is here now, okay? Hope does not always recognize that spirit is here now working in my life and affairs. Instead, hope focuses on the unfolding of an event happening in the future, okay? And that's what we do say, I hope that such and such happens. But faith calls for you to stand strong in your inner knowing that the universe is at work right now, manifesting all you need and all that you ask for. But as we have explored in previous lessons, for your faith to be truly effective, there must be a congruent union of your thought and emotion about the thing you are praying for. We've talked about this before. You cannot be thinking one thing and feeling another and expect to manifest your prayer or desire. This won't happen. And the second thing is, for your prayer to be answered, you must feel as if it has already been answered. And I know that that's not an easy thing, because a lot of times the things we're asking for, we need them right now, all right? But because we typically operate within space and time, we always feel like there's a waiting that happens. And in that waiting period is where fear and worry can set in. Fear and worry have no place in a consciousness of pure faith, okay? And again, we read in the Gospel of Thomas, chapter 24, that Jesus says, when you make the two into one, then you enter into the kingdom of heaven. When you make the two into one, then you enter into the kingdom of heaven. The two being made one in the scripture is the union of thought and emotion. Faith transmutes our sensory mind into the realm of divine mind. So hope keeps us in our sensory mind, our five sensory mind. Okay, but faith moves us from our five sensory mind, our intellectual mind, it moves us from that into the realm of divine mind. And this is what Jesus was referring to when he said, then you will enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay. So when you can bring thought and emotion together into one single harmonious expression of your heart's desire, that is when you activate your power of faith. That inspires, and this is what happens when you activate that power of faith. It inspires the universe into action to manifest what you are asking for in prayer. Okay? And this is when the scripture in Mark 11:24 becomes real for you. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believing you have already received it. You all know that. Whatever you've asked for in prayer, believing you have already received it, it will be given to you. However, even though we also read the same in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given to you, it's important to understand that this divine idea called God doesn't recognize your voice. So even as always saying, ask, God is not recognizing your voice. God only recognizes the synchronous vibration in your heart, all right? The place in which thought and emotion have become one. That's what the universe is recognizing. Because because we still have somewhat of an anthropomorphic view of God, we think if we ask, God hears exactly those words. But that God is bypassing those words. God wants to know what is happening. Is there a synchronization in your heart between thought and emotion? So when you create the divine union of thought and emotion within your heart, believing your prayer has already been answered, that is what creates the magnetic field within you that draws to you the answers that you seek. And as we evolve in our understanding of how the universe works, and that's the key, then we begin to know that the answers to our prayer have already been prepared for us. Okay, they're already ready. And again, we go to scripture, read in Isaiah 65:24. It says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still praying about their needs, I have already prepared the answers to their prayers, all right? And those are powerful scriptures. So the answer to your prayers, my prayers, our prayers has already been prepared for us. But it is faith that brings you to it, okay? The answer has already been prepared. So you might want to say, well, where is it, okay? It's faith that brings you to the answer that has already been prepared for you. And notice I said, it is faith that brings you to it, not it to you. Because the answer to our prayers exists at a level of consciousness different from where we are. You get that? The level of our prayers, you're asking for something, it exists at a level of consciousness different from where we are. Because where we are, we believe we don't have this thing that we're asking for. So we have to be elevated to a level of consciousness where it exists for us. Where we're no longer in a, I don't have it. We're in a consciousness of, it is already mine. However, faith, again, raises your consciousness to the realm where all your hopes and dreams are waiting for you. And if you're still wondering, well, how do I get to that level of faith? Then the answer is in the unedited version of John 16:23-24. It is written in the Gospel of Thomas. It says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, God will give it to you. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name, meaning my nature, as I ask. Ask without hidden motives and feel surrounded and enfolded by your answer. Be enfolded by what you desire until your gladness be made full. So what it says is that when we ask, we have to feel within every fiber of our being that what we're asking for is coming. And without hidden motive means asking without any fear or doubt that what you are asking for will be given to you. Instead, we are to ask with absolute faith in the power and presence of God in our life. So, you're not hoping. Instead, you are asking, surrounded and enfolded by your prayer. You're in a state of absolute certainty that you're being guided to what you are asking for now. All right? And in the book, The Power of Awareness by Neville, this is what Neville says. You must make your future dream a present moment fact now by assuming the feeling of your wish already fulfilled. So, and when you feel yourself becoming worried or fearful, and that's the idea that behind hope is you're waiting and you start to become worried and fearful, it's in the stillness of prayer that you will be able to discern that Spirit is at work in this particular situation in your life and that all is being accomplished according to divine timing. Okay? And this is what is meant by the, you know, affirmation, everything is in divine order, because everything is in divine order. Or the affirmation I use all the time is, God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. And even when there is no evidence that anything tangible is happening, faith workers know in their heart, mind, and soul that things are being worked out in perfect order, and they are comfortable with the fact that the order may not coincide with their perception of what that order should be. So the scripture, you know, it's a scripture from the Gospel of Thomas says, you must remain surrounded and enfolded by what you desire until your gladness is made full. Yes, believe me, I know that this is not always easy. So I leave you with this reading from Science of Mind magazine, which is from today, okay, in Science of Mind magazine. And it's this is what it says. Finding the rhythm of our lives is about alignment, resonance, and harmony. It's knowing when to be directive and intentional and when to be open, receptive, and intuative. One without the other creates exhaustion or resignation. Imagine your life as a piece of music or a poem. Notice its rhythm, the rhythm of your life. Are you breathing in the rhythm of co-creation? And that's the idea we want to be aware of. So I always like to leave you with an affirmation. So this is this week's affirmation, again from Science of Mind magazine today, okay? And it says, my life is in alignment with the rhythm of creation, balancing revelation and demonstration in perfect harmony. And so it is. All right. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So before we get into the actual meditation, which will be for meditation for faith, on this first day of Advent, consider that moment when the angel appeared to Mary and asked her if she would be the mother of the Messiah. Her response, after the angel answered her question on how this would be, was one of trust. Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word." As we prepare our hearts for Jesus' coming, strive for that wholehearted faith of accepting God's will with joy. And now, settle yourselves and get comfortable right where you are. Place your feet to the earth, close your eyes, if you wish, and relax your body. Know that this is your time in the quiet with Spirit. Take in a deep breath and release it. Take in another deep breath, then release it. Now please take these words as your very own. My faith assures me that every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts. My mind is quiet and still. Peace enfolds my spirit and my awareness. Gentle Spirit, my faith assures me that every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts. Faith is the lens through which I view the world. I envision what is good and true. Even in dire circumstances, my insight and understanding grows. I overcome negative thoughts. I persevere with patience and hope. By faith, I speak, move, and act. Though the path may be unclear, with each step I become more certain. My inner knowing grows stronger. I am steadfast, unmoved, and anchored by faith. I am confident that good will come to pass. By faith, I trust and know that all is well. I acknowledge external conditions, but I am not bound by them. All that God is, I am whole, well, and complete, lacking nothing. Faith declares that it is so and moves me to act to make it so. By faith, I expect the best and receive nothing less. Every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts of peace, joy, beauty, harmony, and love. Now please take these next few moments to come ye apart a while and be in communion with each other and in the Spirit of God. We now affirm with you that faith is your true nature, your spiritual power of perception, conviction, and expectancy. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings in gratitude for the power of faith in your life and in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
That was great, huh? This is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our lives to flow into our spiritual home. And we ask you to hold your offering blessing in your hand, in your mind, in your heart, as you think about the Unity Center of Light and all it means to you. And with that, let us do our affirmation offering blessing together.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings. As they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right, you have light notes?
Yes. You're starting.
I'm starting? Oh, okay. Oh, okay, so today is the last day of the survey. We've had a survey that's gone out a few weeks ago, and it ends today. Please, if you have not filled the survey out, please do that. we are really working through thinking about how we are going to move forward as a church, a family, a spiritual family. So we really need your feedback so we know how to think about moving moving forward. So please do fill out that that survey. All right.
So our Christmas Eve candle lighting service is Friday, December the 24th at 7 p.m. Please join us for readings, music, candle lighting, and more. There'll be a special Zoom link for this virtual service. We're seeking readers and candle lighters for the service. Please contact April if you would like to participate. All our special holiday services are listed in your e-newsletter. Please check them so that you know. And our Saturday Connection event was wonderful and it was fun. We are grateful for all who were able to attend and had the opportunity to pick up their Advent calendars, books, and candles and white stones for our white stone service on January the 2nd.
Thank you. All right, so now we are going to bless the path that we walked this week.
Yes. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. And let's do our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
Amen. All right. Well, again, we hope to see you in Zoom right after this. I remember we've got Safi, so, you know, that's going to be...
You don't want to miss Safi.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that. So we look forward to seeing you then. Otherwise, have a wonderful week, and we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.